Hello and welcome to another episode of the County Cricket Podcast in association with our friends at Bear Cricket. I'm your host, Aaron, aka the Cricket Connoisseur, and joining me on my left, as always, is my Lancastrian co-host, Joe Nutsy, Nuttall. So Joe, mate, how's your day been so far?
Yeah, I'm all right, thanks. Obviously, there's been a lot of cricket on to watch recently, which has been interesting. Obviously, the 100 has started now. And also the One Day Cup, of course, which is what we're here to talk about today. So yeah, I mean, it's been a great competition so far. Obviously, as I say, we'll get into it a bit more later. But I will just say I'm pleased with how Lancs are doing so far. So I will just quickly say that straight off the bat. Lancs are doing very well. And obviously, Test cricket returns within the week as well. Starts on Wednesday, right, at Trent Bridge. So that should be good. Hopefully we see some, not really new faces, but returning faces in the side, i.e. Haseeb Hameed. That'll be great to see him back. And hopefully Johnny can keep his place. He didn't play in the last test, but get his place back as well. I'd love to see Johnny playing back in Test cricket. So we'll see what happens there. I know that's probably an unpopular opinion, but yeah, I'm a big fan of him. So I think he has the potential to do well for England in Test cricket.
Well, you know what, Joe?
Especially in Australia, might I add.
Fair enough, Joe. You know what? Never apologise for your opinion. Everyone's allowed one. It's what makes our beautiful game go round, isn't it? Discourse, conversation, debate. In my personal opinion, I don't think Bairstow will play in this series just due to, you know, lack of Red Bull cricket. He hasn't played since March. I think actually in the India series, didn't play a single county championship match. But as you said, Joe, Test cricket is back next week. It's going to be an absolutely blockbuster series. England versus India, two of the most exciting teams on the planet right now. Jimmy Anderson chasing that incredible milestone to become the third leading
it's his birthday, by the way, today.
Wicket taker of all time. Exactly. Happy birthday. Happy 39th birthday to the greatest seam bowler of all time. But imagine the scenes if he gets to 620 wickets and surpasses the great Anil Kumble. That will be absolutely extraordinary. But Joe, as you rightfully said, we aren't here to talk about Test cricket just yet, or indeed the 100. Just a disclaimer, we won't be talking about the 100 here on TCCP. There are other podcasts out there. If you want to listen to your 100 fix, please feel free to go and check those out. But unfortunately, they aren't the county, so we're not covering it here on TCCP. But what we are covering on today's show is, in fact, the 2021 Royal London One Day Cup. And Joe, before I get into some of the results, the tables, and of course our analysis on this week's wrap-up show, what have you made of the competition so far? Obviously, a lot of absentees due to the 100, due to other commitments as well. Injuries are playing a massive, massive role in terms of Warwickshire and Derbyshire, for example, as well. But what have you made of the competition so far as we approach the end of its first week?
Yeah, as I said earlier, I think it's been a really, really good competition so far. You know, we've seen a lot of runs scored. In particular from some opening batsmen as well, that like especially opening batsmen have scored a lot of runs, and that's great to see. You know, as you say, there's so many players missing through injury. Warwickshire have goodness knows how many players out.
16.
And we'll talk about that a little bit later. There you go, 16 players missing for Warwickshire, and you know, you've got young players scoring runs. Oh, sorry, Pollock obviously got a ton the other day, his first
ever one.
Cricket, to name one. So yeah, it's, I think, honestly been a really, really good competition so far. And despite the lack of big names, like big county names, so, you know, the likes of, well, Liam Limerson, for example, would be playing because he wouldn't be in the test squad. Tom Banton wouldn't be in the test squad, so he would be playing. They're just two off the top of my head. So, yeah, despite the lack of those kind of big county names and international names, it's still been a great competition and there's still been some good cricket played. So, yeah, I think, as I say, I've enjoyed watching it. It's just a shame that there's not been none on Sky, because obviously the 100's been on, but you know, even if it was on the red button, there's enough ex-pros out there to compensate. You can find enough people.
Or us too.
Well, I'll tell you what, I won't say no.
Well, exactly, Joe. I'll tell you what, that is a wonderful summary to start today's wrap-up show. And you know what, I completely concur with the sentiment. In terms of the competition itself, it is of course different. The 100, we can't ignore it. It is the elephant in the room with regards to this year's Royal London One Day Cup. But in terms of these young players, these academy players, the second 11 players are really stepping up to the plate, in my opinion. And the fact is, I've been to two Warwickshire games so far and thoroughly enjoyed them both. Even though we got hammered in the first one, the one that I went to yesterday against Leicestershire was an instant classic. It was a ridiculous roller coaster of emotion for both Warwickshire and Leicestershire fans. So many ebbs and flows, some great young prospects are emerging in this year's competition. And as you rightfully said, Joe, although the quote-unquote big boys aren't in there, the Alex Haleses, the Livingstons, for example, the England players as well aren't actually there in this year's competition, we're still getting some really engaging, absorbing and compelling cricket being played on the pitch. So for me, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I love the Royal London One Day Cup. I've said it so many times on the podcast. One of my favourite ever memories as a county cricket fan was 2016 and beating Surrey in the final at Lord's. One of my absolute, if not my absolute favourite moments as a Warwickshire fan. But this year's competition, it's different. There are a lot of absentees, but let's make the most out of it. Support your counties, go to games if you can, and continue to watch the live streams, because the numbers on the live streams have been absolutely magnificent so far. So thank you to everyone who has been tuning in. And in terms of the Royal London One Day Cup this week, Joe, it has been very, very interesting in terms of some of the results, some of the performances, and it has led to two very, very interesting group tables, which we'll get into now. So Group 1, let's have a look at the table. So top of Group 1, Joe, I know you'll enjoy this. Surrey County Cricket Club are currently top of Group 1 on 4 points. In second, are Glamorgan. Again, Glamorgan made a very, very good start to this year's competition, having won two of their first three games and currently sit in second on 4 points. In third, are Somerset, also on 4 points. In fourth, somehow, and I don't know how we've managed to do this, Warwickshire, with 16 players missing, are currently fourth in Group 1, also on 4 points. In fifth, are Yorkshire on 3 points. In sixth, are Notts on 2 points. In seventh, are Leicestershire also on 2 points. In eighth, are Northamptonshire on 1 point. And in ninth, are Derbyshire on 0 points. Now, moving on to Group 2, Joe, your team's group. Top of Group 2 are Worcestershire on 6 points, having won all three of their first three games so far with a very, very impressive net run rate of 1.799. Currently sitting in second in Group 2 are Durham on 5 points. In third, are Lancashire, also on 5 points with a slightly inferior net run rate. In fourth, are Essex on 4 points. In fifth, are Hampshire on 2 points. In sixth, are Gloucestershire on 2 points. In seventh, are Sussex on 1 point. In eighth, Kent find themselves on 1 point. And ninth and final place in Group 2 are Middlesex on 0 points. So a very, very intriguing start to this year's Royal London One Day Cup. Of course, it's different, but we have had some absolutely fantastic performances so far in the first week of the competition. So I'll kickstart today's show, Joe, in terms of the analysis with Group 1, my team's group, the group which has produced so many fantastic displays so far already in its first 3 to 4 games. So in terms of my first standout batting display of the week, Joe, I know you'll enjoy this one because he's a Surrey player. It is, of course, Ryan Patel. His knock of 131 from 70 balls was nothing short of outstanding. This was arguably the knock of the entire competition so far. Just to contextualise this knock, Surrey were struggling massively. They were 29-1 in their first 8 overs in Guildford against Notts. And then Ryan Patel, after a rain delay, comes in and absolutely demolishes the Nottinghamshire bowling attack. 7 fours, 10 sixes, a strike rate of 187.14 in a 30 overs per side game was absolutely mind-blowing. It really was. In terms of another Surrey player as well, I have to mention, with regards to this batting performance, Jamie Smith as well. What a prospect he is. He's got such a bright future, a very classy batsman. He just blitzed a quick fire 54 from 19 as well. A Surrey went from 29-1 to 311-8 in the space of 22 overs. I don't know what else to say about this performance, not only from the Brown Caps with the bat, but in particular Ryan Patel. Someone who people may not have really, I don't know, come to terms with yet. He's not exactly a big name player on the Surrey ranks. But this guy is so, so classy. He's got all of the shots in the book. He's very traditional in his setup, but he's a very punchy player as well. He's got a lot of power hidden within his actual technique. So Ryan Patel, fantastic start to the tournament. 131 from 70 balls in Guildford in front of a very, very good crowd, it has to be said, at Woodbridge Road. What a start to the competition for Ryan Patel. Absolutely exceptional, to say the least. In terms of my second one, Joe, this is a little bit of a cop-out. I'm going to be honest. I know that we usually say it's three standout batting performances, but today I've kind of chosen four. Okay, and there is a reason. Apologies in advance. But in terms of my second one, this is actually a two-way tie between Marcus Harris and Harry Duke, who scored 127 and 125 runs respectively in Yorkshire's 7-wicket victory over Leicestershire at Grace Road. So I'll start with Marcus Harris, and may I just preface this conversation by saying just how impressive this guy has been for the Running Foxes. He has been an absolutely remarkable signing, has had such a strong county championship, and has just transferred that form in red ball cricket to white ball cricket so seamlessly and effortlessly. It really is fantastic to see someone who's on the fringes of Australia's selection really knock down the door to Australia's test and potentially ODI team. So Marcus Harris in this game produced a beautifully crafted 127 from 130 balls, which included 14 fours and a couple of massive sixes. This guy oozes class. He's such an aesthetically pleasing batsman. Left-handers usually are. We say it on the podcast when we look back at the greats, the Kumar Sangakkaras of the world, the Sourav Gangulis, the Brian Laras, for example. In England here, Alistair Cook as well. There's just something about left-handed batsmen which is so appealing. And Marcus Harris definitely has that appeal. He is a fantastic batsman. Joe, I know that you'll agree with me here when I'm talking about Marcus Harris. I know you're a big fan of his game. What a knock. That's definitely, all I can say. Definitely. This was a fantastic knock on what was a very, very good batting surface at Grace Road.
Definitely, yeah. And I think Marcus Harris has done exactly what he needed to do as an overseas player. You know, this is, well, how many hundreds has he scored now? He must have scored 300 or 400 for Leicester this season. And that's exactly what you want as an overseas player. He's a leader on the pitch as well. Obviously not the captain, but he's a leader. He's played Test cricket. And from a personal note, he's not doing himself any harm for Test cricket status again, for a chance to play for Australia again in Test cricket, because, well, I mean, as I say, he scored 300 or 400 since he joined the Foxes, and you can't really ask much more, as I say. So, yeah, I mean, nothing else really needs to be said there, to be honest.
No, he's been a great signing, and I think that we're both in agreement with that. Not often we agree with regards to our cricket, Joe. But yeah, Marcus Harris has been an absolutely stellar signing. In terms of my second choice, Joe, and again, apologies, it is a bit of a cop-out. I have chosen two for the second place, but I had to go with Harry Duke's 125. What a prospect he is. He really is. He's a great young wicketkeeper. We've mentioned him on multiple occasions in the county championship wrap-up shows. And this 125 was just masterful. This guy is so young. He's 19 years of age. And yet he displays the maturity and level-headedness of a 28 or 29-year-old batsman, a county veteran, really. He has so much wisdom and maturity on his shoulders at such a young age. It's so, so good to see. And although, Joe, I know this isn't your type of innings in one-day cricket, a well-measured 125 from 130 balls, but he laid the foundation exceptionally. And that laid the foundation for someone like George Hill to come in and just blitz a quick fire 90 not out, for example. So for me, absolutely remarkable knock from Harry Duke. He's a great, great prospect. I love watching this guy bat. And Yorkshire fans, let me just tell you right now, you've got an absolute gem on your hands. 19 years of age. 19. He doesn't play like a 19-year-old. Let me just tell you that. So for me, Harry Duke got a massive, massive future. And what a knock. And that is all that I have to say with regards to Duke's knock in that particular game. Now, Joe, before I move on to my third and final batting display of Group 1 this week, just an honourable mention, because I have to mention this guy. I have so much respect and admiration for him as a cricketer. And that is, of course, Billy Godelman. Now, as we know, he's struggled with off-field issues. He's taken a break from first 11 cricket for quite a while now. Hasn't really featured for Derbyshire much in this year's county circuit, really. But in his first game back, he produced a wonderful 116 against Leicestershire. And although they went on to lose the game, Derbyshire, unfortunately, this just made my heart smile. As I said, Billy Godelman really is a county stalwart. He's someone who I love watch batting. He's got so much class, so much panache about him. He really is a very aesthetically pleasing batsman, very pleasing on the eye as a county cricket fan. So to see him come back so effortlessly after a really tough break, well done, Billy. That's all that I have to say. I'm so, so proud of that knock. And hopefully, fingers crossed, we can see many more knocks like that as the county season now progresses for the East Midlands County. But Joe, in terms of my third and final one, and again, this is very, very recent. It happened yesterday. and I was there at Edgbaston to witness this knock live. It is, of course, Matt Lamb's 119 from 105 balls. Now, again, this isn't a typical Joe Nuttall innings, unfortunately, Joe. There weren't loads of fours. There weren't loads of massive sixes. In fact, of 119 runs, only 46 of his runs came in boundaries, 10 fours and a six. That is absolutely staggering. The level of strike rotation that Matt Lamb displayed, and Ethan Brooks, to be fair, Ethan Brooks played second fiddle absolutely perfectly with his strike rotation and his quick running between the wickets. But Matt Lamb yesterday just put on an exhibition in traditional white ball batting, picking the gaps, rotating the strike, preventing Leicestershire from developing a lot of pressure on the likes of Brooks and, of course, Lamb himself. It was really, really smart, sensible and proactive batting from the Wolverhampton-born batsman. Really, really impressive. His maiden List A century as well, and what a way to bring it up. 119 out. It provided Warwickshire with the much-needed momentum they needed to get past 300. And that knock was the difference between Warwickshire being skittled for 170 or 180 runs and going on to surpass that 300-run mark. So Matt Lamb, take a bow. I'm so, so pleased. He took a brilliant catch on the boundary as well, which was rightfully applauded in the Eric Holly stand. And he's just such a wonderful batsman. Again, 25 years of age, Matt Lamb. He's been playing for Warwickshire since 2016. It's great to see him mature, progress and develop for the Bear and Ragged staff. So, Lammy, well played. I thoroughly enjoyed it from my seat in Eric Holly's stand. And yet again, a bit like with Godalming, hopefully this can kickstart some good form for Matt Lamb and we can see some many more centuries in a Bears shirt for the Wolverhampton-born batsman. Now, Joe, moving on from batting displays then, we do, of course, have our bowling displays. And talking of games that I went to, this also happened to be a game which I was there to witness in the live. And that is, of course, Lyndon James's 5-48 from 9 overs against Warwickshire last week. Now, Lyndon James, Joe, again, a name that we've mentioned multiple times here on the podcast, is such an impressive all-rounder, isn't he? He's just so consistent, so accurate, so lethal with that good length delivery. And the thing that really impressed me with regards to this performance this week was his control. He didn't go searching for wickets. He didn't start going to bouncers or, you know, over-pitching deliveries when things weren't going his way. He just stuck on that good length delivery and was almost militaristic in his execution of that line and length. And you know what? It paid dividends. 5-48 from 9 overs, took 3 wickets in his 9th and final over as well to win the game for Notts by a very commanding total of 86 runs. Lyndon James is someone to really keep a close eye on. He's so, so classy, isn't he, Joe?
Yeah, I think Lyndon James is a great player. I think Notts have some really, really talented all-rounders on their hands. You know, I think the likes of Lyndon James, Liam Paterson-White, Joey Everson, just to name three. Yeah, as I say, I think as a collective, Notts have obviously struggled the last few years in, well, I know this is white ball cricket, but Lyndon James is definitely someone who can be classed in red ball cricket as well. And that's an area Notts have struggled in the last few years. This year, they've really come to the forefront of their game, and Lyndon James has been a big reason why. So I think he's showing, you know, how good he can be in the future. And yeah, I mean, it's massively important that people like Lyndon James didn't get selected for the 100, because there's so much, you know, like more experienced talent who don't necessarily need to grow and develop as much, who have been selected. That for me, it's important that these youngsters don't, you know, who may get selected, just they don't play. So it's important that they're playing every week. That's what Lyndon James is getting, you know, is doing. And it's great to see, you know, really, really great to see. He's doing well. Obviously, he took a 5 for against Warwickshire, so that was good. And as I say, just really, really good to see.
Well, it was, Joe. And, you know, again, I concur with the sentiment. It's fantastic to witness the progression and evolution of these young players. Lyndon James has got superstar qualities about him. Let me just tell you that right now. And hopefully, with the right steps in place, with the right development, and if not to put him on the right path, he is going to be a serious all-rounder for many, many years to come across formats for the East Midlands County. So Lyndon James is my first standout bowling performance of the week in Group 1. In terms of my second one, Joe, this gives me great pleasure. It really does. Michael Hogan, 4-33 against Somerset in Taunton. May I just preface this conversation as well by saying what a game of cricket this was. a one-run victory for Somerset in one of the most tense encounters that I think I've seen in recent times. Andy Gorvan at the end, off the bowling of Lewis Goldsworthy, who, bear in mind, is 19, okay, was bowling, I think, his third or fourth over of the game at that point. He's bowling at the death. Ben Green gave him that responsibility. And at the end, Andy Gorvan absolutely leathered a shot straight back down the ground, but it went for four, and Somerset won by a solitary run. What a game of cricket. And again, for those who haven't witnessed that, please go and check out the live stream or the highlights. It was an absolutely engrossing game of cricket, to say the very least. But in terms of this particular bowling display from Michael Hogan, Joe, this was just typical Michael Hogan at his best. Really dangerous, getting some movement on the ball. Again, laser-like consistency and accuracy. And the way in which he just carved through the likes of Stephen Davis, Sam Young, George Bartlett, and James Hildreth within his first 30 deliveries was absolutely ruthless. It was great to watch. He's such a compelling bowler to witness as a county cricket fan. So for me, Michael Hogan, superb. He really was. Also followed up with 31 dot balls from his eight overs. So really, really impressive stuff from the veteran Aussie seamer. And yeah, Michael Hogan, take a bow. I thoroughly enjoyed that bowling display. The game itself was an instant classic. It's going to live long in the memory of both Somerset and Glamorgan fans. And as I said, it just makes my heart smile again, a bit like with Godalman, seeing Michael Hogan in the wickets performing well. Hogue's take a bow, mate. That was absolutely sensational. Now, in terms of my third and final pick for this week, Joe, again, you're going to like this one because I know you like him. He's a Surrey seamer, very, very good young prospect. Born in Chelsea, still only 23 years of age. I am, of course, talking about Gus Atkinson. Now, Gus had an absolutely scintillating T20 blast. He's up there in terms of the wicket-taking column, was one of Surrey's standout performers. And I mentioned this a bit like with Lyndon James. It's the way in which he's just transferred that form so effortlessly and seamlessly into white ball cricket in the Royal London One Day Cup. For me, it's so, so impressive. And in terms of his bowling in this particular game in Scarborough, Surrey, of course, ended up the victors in this game. But the way in which he just bowled Will Frayn with an absolute jaffer, this really was a jaffer with a capital J, angled in, kissed the top of the seam, kissed the top of off as well with a beautiful nip backer. It was quintessential white ball, new ball bowling. It really was. And I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed that delivery. And Will Frayn, again, a man who's in form, to get him out so early on in the innings with a delivery like that, really was a statement of intent by Gus Atkinson. And then, as if that wasn't enough, again, a bit like with Hogan, a bit like with Lyndon James, very, very consistent, had great control, but it's also his ability to surprise the batsman with a short ball. And he did that to catch George Hill off guard, a really short, sharp bouncer. Hill couldn't quite get the elevation on the shot, and it was another wicket for Gus Atkinson. So for me, Joe, a really, really stellar performance from the 23-year-old seamer. Again, this is becoming a theme here, but do watch out for this guy's progression. He really has got all the qualities of a very, very good seam bowler in white ball cricket. And yeah, that for me just really stood out this week. So Gus Atkinson, my third and final one in Group 1, a very, very good display from the Chelsea-born seamer. Now, moving on from our bowling and batting displays, Joe, we go on to our standout young player. Now, this for me was tremendously difficult because I've chosen one Warwickshire player, but there was also another one who I just have to mention, and that is, of course, Rob Yates. Currently the third leading run scorer in this year's Royal London One Day Cup with 235 runs at 78.33. The guy scored three back-to-back 50-plus scores and even a century. So Rob Yates, again, someone to watch out for. The same with Dan Marsley and, of course, Jack Haynes, who we may or may not mention, Joe, later on in today's episode. But in terms of my actual choice for this week's standout young player, I've gone with Jacob Bethell. And again, this guy never ceases to surprise me, really. I've been told for years that this guy is such an impressive talent. He's a three-dimensional cricketer. He bowls really, really disciplined left-arm off-spin. He's a very enterprising batter, and he's a brilliant fielder. Let me just tell you that one thing now about Jacob Bethell's game, which is so characteristic of him, is energy, enthusiasm, and passion in the field. Jacob's only 17 years of age, Joe. He's 17 years old. And as of right now, as we speak, he is the joint leading wicket taker in this year's RLODC with 9 wickets in his first 4 List A games. He is so, so impressive. And at the age of 17, to be the talisman, the spearhead of Warwickshire's albeit inexperienced bowling attack, who between them, I think, have about 30 List A appearances. But for Jacob Ethel at 17 years of age to be making such a name for himself so early on in his professional career is outstanding. And I'm not just saying this because he's a Warwickshire player. This guy really does impress me. He's a very likeable character. He's an excellent cricketer. And as I said, the sky really is the limit when it comes to Jacob Ethel. Remember this guy's name. He has England written all over him. He really does. If he continues this upward trend, and I hope, I really sincerely hope that he can achieve that goal and aspiration later on in his career, because this guy is an absolute superstar in the making. So TCCP standout young player for Group 1, Joe, Jacob Ethel. What a player he is. Have you seen much of him, by the way, mate? And what have you made of him so far?
I've not seen him play live, but I've seen clips of him. And yeah, he seems like a really, really good, as you say, like enthusiastic cricketer. And I think at that age, it's a bit of a cliche, but that's really what you want, is enthusiasm. And that applies for whether you're playing under-18s cricket at your local club or professional cricket for Warwickshire. That still applies. You know, you always want to be enthusiastic, and it's so important at that age, because, you know, if your enthusiasm and your drive and passion isn't there, you're not really going to get very far. But, you know, that can carry you through games. You know, if you have a bad game, your enthusiasm, your passion can carry you through games, can get you another wicket, can score you, you know, extra few runs. So, yeah, from what I've seen, you can tell how much he loves playing cricket, and I think that's great.
He does, Joe. He does. And I'm going to keep on mentioning this. He's 17. Right, he's 17 and taking 9 List A wickets for Warwickshire. Just for a comparison, I'm 20 and can barely take a wicket in second 11 village cricket. It's staggering. It really does. It blows my mind in terms of the sheer talent this guy possesses at such a young age. But Jacob Ethel, yeah, TCCP standout young player of Group 1 for this week. Take a bow, Jacob. Plenty more good things to come, in my opinion. Now, Joe, before we move on to your group, Group 2, we do, of course, have standout team of Group 1 for this week. And this is interesting, right? You may or may not agree with my choice, Joe, and, of course, listeners as well. I've actually gone with Glamorgan, okay? I've got, in my notes, honourable mentions, Surrey and Warwickshire. But in terms of my standout team, I've gone with Glamorgan. Because, let's face it, one run was the determining factor between them being second and first. They could have won all three of their first games. So for me, Glamorgan really have been dark horses this year. When you think with regards to the 100, they aren't really missing many players. I think they're missing, is it 3 or 4, Joe?
They're missing Dan Dathwaite.
Ingram? Is Ingram in the 100?
Yeah, Ingram.
And Cook. I know Cook's for Birmingham.
And Cook, yeah, he's for Birmingham.
And Lloyd, isn't it? Lloyd, they're missing 4. They're missing 4.
So they're missing 4, yeah.
So that, for me, puts Glamorgan in a very, very good place. Compare that to a team like Surrey or Warwickshire, for example, who are missing multiple players. Obviously, those 4 names that we mentioned are massive. They are integral players to Glamorgan's success, but their squad hasn't been depleted massively. And the players who have come in as well, Steve Rheingold's been very, very impressive. Andy Gorvin's another one who has impressed me for Glamorgan so far. I just look at this team, and I don't think people would have them as favourites on paper necessarily, but there is a real team spirit around Glamorgan. And I tell you what, if they had Labuschagne and Nisa, Joe, I actually think they could go on to win. Unfortunately, they don't.
I would agree.
But with that being said, the team is really, really impressing me. As I said, to lose 4 important players and still produce the goods across 3 games, and yes, you can say that they were the architects of their own downfall against Somerset, but again, that was a really compelling game of cricket. It really was. I think they've played some outstanding white ball cricket so far in this year's tournament. So for me, this week, Joe, I'm going to say Glamorgan County Cricket Club. And who knows, the 100th year anniversary of their first class introduction into the English and Welsh county circuits, could it potentially provide a Royal London One Day Cup? Who knows? We'll have to wait and see, but anything can happen.
Only time will tell.
Exactly, Joe. But yeah, for me, TCCP standout team for Group 1 is, of course, Glamorgan. Well done, Glamorgan, and hopefully some many more good performances to come from the Welsh County. But that is it from me for the moment, Joe. And I will, of course, pass over to you for Group 2. So, Joe, mate, take it away. What have you got to say about Group 2 this week?
Yeah, so I think Group 2 has been quite a mixed bag generally. You know, there's not really been any teams kind of middle ground. You know, obviously, Worcester are kind of running away with it. Lancs have won 2 and obviously had a no result. So I'd say those 2 are the best 2 teams at the moment, to be honest. in Group 2. And Worcester quite surprised me, actually, if I'm being honest. I didn't expect them to do so well, but they have done. So fair play. So we'll actually start, of course, with the batting, and we'll start with Worcester, because it seems like the most logical place to start. It was only yesterday that Jack Haynes scored his maiden one-day century. What an innings this was. Against Essex as well, by the way. They have a ridiculously good bowling attack. But Jack Haynes, 153. And yeah, he just basically gave Essex absolutely no chance. And it was just such a masterful innings that got them bust up to... Well, actually, the rest of the batting side, aside from Haynes and D'Oliveira, actually did poorly, to be honest. You know, Haynes got 153. D'Oliveira, who hasn't made my top three this week, although it was, of course, an incredible innings, he got 123. And the next highest score then was 27 by Dell, and no one else got into double figures. So the rest of the batting side did absolutely poorly. So I guess that's a bit of a worry for Worcester. But, I mean, as I say, Jack Haynes, what an innings. I mean, he's played, obviously, England under-19s with players from our counties that we support, of course, Dan Marsley and George Borderson. So he has played, well, he's obviously not made full England honours, but he's played full England honours at his age, and that shows how good of a player he is. You know, you look at the England team now, and in years gone by, most of those have played for England under-19s, so they don't just pick anyone, you know. And Jack Haynes, I think, could be the real deal opening the batting. I really do. Again, I don't know how much you've seen of him, probably seen quite a lot of him as well, but yeah, he's a great player.
He is indeed, Joe. And again, I can keep on saying this until the cows come home. When it comes to West Midlands batting options, three names to watch out for: Jack Haynes from Worcestershire, Dan Mousley from Warwickshire, Rob Yates also from Warwickshire. We have got some really, really talented batsmen in the region. And from what I've seen of Jack Haynes, and I use this to describe a lot of young batsmen, but it is class. He just has something about him. You can tell that the guy's just got that extra little bit of talent in there. And he really did dispatch Simon Harmer yesterday. This is what was so impressive. You mentioned about Essex's bowling attack. The way in which he took the attack to Simon Harmer, who we know destroys and demolishes entire county batting lineups. The way in which he was so proactive with his footwork, that's what really stood out to me with Jack Haynes.
Yeah.
The willingness to attack Simon Harmer, a bit like Rob Yates did actually in the county championship earlier on in April. And again, he's just such an impressive prospect. Worcester have gone absolute gem on their hands. And I know, Joe, that he's not necessarily a batsman, but someone else I want to mention for the pairs is Josh Baker. The more that I watch of this guy, the young off-spinner for the pairs, the more I'm impressed. He's got such great control. He loves to flight the ball as well. He's a very deceptive spinner at such a young age. So for me, some very, very bright prospects in Worcestershire right now, and Jack Haynes is definitely the cream of the crop. He is such a fantastic young batsman, as is Jack Banson, Joe. He's another one I have to mention.
Yeah,
Worcester have actually got quite a good few, you know,
they do.
Some good players in there. Mitch Stanley as well, good young seamer. So some very, very exciting times on the other side of the West Midlands. And yeah, Jack Haynes, definitely someone to watch out for. I think he could represent England potentially in the future.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would definitely agree with that. You know, I mean, we've pretty much said all that needs to be said on Jack Haynes there. So we'll move on then to the second bat performance. Now, this came down to one run. And that is, of course, Graham Clark. Now, as I say, it came down to one run because he had two innings. One was 140 and one was 141. So I just chose the one that was 141 because, yeah, I mean, he's in ridiculous form. He's the leading run scorer in the tournament, and he thoroughly deserves it, to be honest. It's all because he was a former guest on the podcast. So, the TCCP, well, not really a curse. It's more good fortune continues for former guests. But, yeah, I mean, what an innings this was. 141 against Kent. Pretty much took the Kent bowlers around the ground and set the platform for the rest of the Durham side to pretty much have a license. You know, Alex Lee's got a measured 100. And then you got Bellingham with 67, Bancroft with 60. So, you know, the top four just really had a license to go out and attack, and Clark set the platform excellently. And the thing I like about Graham Clark is he doesn't hang around. And I think that's my favourite thing about him, is he just hammers the ball everywhere. But he reminds me a little bit of Ryan Bairstow in that sense. You know, where Ryan Bairstow would just hit anything, and Clark does that. So What a player. I think he's very underrated. And as what a start he has made to the One Day Cup this year. So yeah, Graham Clark for me is my second performance of the week.
Great choice there, Joe. And I like what you said, actually, with the comparison to Jason Roy. Because for me, Graham Clark, if I was to describe him with one word, I'd say punchy. He doesn't caress the ball through the covers. He's not exactly like a Joe Root, who uses tremendous timing and, you know, just the flow of the bat. A bit like Kane Williamson as well, actually. But something that Graham Clark does do is score runs quickly, and he's very, very punchy. He punched it through the covers. And I'll tell you what, some of the shots, not only in that particular innings in Beckenham, but also in the 140 yesterday, he's got so much power. He really is a powerful unit. So Graham Clark, what a start he's had to the 2020 Royal Under the Cup.
Definitely.
And an excellent batsman, Joe. I completely agree. Definitely goes far too much under the radar.
Definitely, 100%. And for my final batting performance from Group 2 this week, I have had to go for a Lynx player, of course. I could have not mentioned this person, this innings. You probably already know who I'm going to choose, Aaron. This was, for me, one of the best innings. Well, I wasn't there because it was in Sedbergh, but I was watching it on the stream. One of the best innings I've seen in a long, long time in a one-day game. And that is, of course, Danny Lamb's 86 not out that he scored against Sussex to pretty much win Lynx the game. I mean, he was phenomenal in this game. You know, bowled very well for a start. 2 for 65 off his 10 is excellent. But his batting, you know, he came in when we were in such a difficult position. Fair play to Sussex. They bowled really, really well at the top with Sarah and Crocombe. They bowled really well and dismissed our top three really, really quickly. And what a top three that is, by the way, as well. Jennings, Bohannon and Wills. Absolutely quality top three. And then, yeah, kind of Vilas and Jones rebuilt in the middle. And then those two got out, Croft got out and Lavelle got out and kind of left it to Lamb, Bailey, Hurt and Morley, who wasn't needed in the end, but was, of course, another batter left. So pretty much the whole responsibility fell on Danny Lamb, and he's such a good batter. And he's got loads of runs already this season in the Championship and, again, has shown why he's a genuine all-rounder, in my opinion. Him and Luke Wood, both genuine all-rounders, Lynx have. Now, obviously, Luke was not around at the moment, unfortunately. But Lynx have two genuine all-rounders who are capable in all three forms, and I think that's a massive, massive thing to have in your squad, really. I think it's vital. So Danny Lamb, yeah, just took to pieces this Sussex bowling attack, and obviously it's a young attack, it's an experienced attack, but in a way that's going to be good for Sussex, in my opinion. It's going to be good for them. They look, you're not going to win every game you play, that's a fact. You're not going to, it's not always going to be your day with the ball, and you know, to pretty much run through Lynx's top order and then run through Lynx's middle order, only to find that, you know, in county cricket, in professional cricket, it's never an easy job. It's never a job done. You're always going to get people fighting back. And that's what happened with Lamb and Bailey and Hurt in the innings. And yeah, Danny Lamb, 86 not out, deserved a century. Unfortunately, he couldn't get there because Lynx restricted Sussex to a low enough total. But yeah, just remarkable, remarkable innings there from Danny Lamb. So, on to my bowling performances then. And I will start with one that may come as a little bit of a surprise, potentially. Now, this was... this innings of bowling from this particular player was not necessarily full of wickets. Only had one wicket. But the economy rate at which Jamie Porter bowled against Hampshire was phenomenal. 10 overs, 1 for 31. To me, that's just remarkable. And Hampshire got 273. Not like they got 130. So he conceded 31 of those 273 runs. And that, to me, is just remarkable. And people may say that's not necessarily a good enough selection for performances of the week with the ball. To me, it is. And to be conceding that little amount of runs in a 10-over spell, you'd say now, a good economy rate, if you're going at 6.5 and over in a one-day game, you've done quite well. Well, Porter's gone at three and a bit less runs and over than that. It's just incredible bowling from such a good bowler. Someone who, well, he had that phenomenal year a few years ago, didn't he? Where he took, 50 wickets, 60 wickets, something like that in the Championship. And to me, should have got selected for England. Unfortunately, that window's probably passed now. But he's so good with a white ball, and a white ball swings so much up top. And that's why Jamie Porter's so useful. He's so hard to get away. And to me, that innings, or that bowling performance, really, really shows why he's such a capable bowler. I don't know about you, Aaron, if you feel that's a bit of a cop-out one. because he only took one wicket. But to me, that one has to get included for me this week. That was one of my top three.
Well, again, Joe, I said it right at the start of the show. You're entitled to your opinion. And to be fair, I know it wasn't exactly in terms of wickets and stuff, but as you said, 1 for 31, a 3.1 economy rate in modern List A cricket is exceptional.
Against some of these batters.
Do you have that stat to hand?
Yeah, 37, which to me is even more incredible. Out of 60 balls, you know, he only conceded runs in 23 of those. That's why this performance is in my top three bowling of the week. And who said bowling, of course, is about taking wickets, but every now and then you've got to appreciate a performance like this. 1 for 31 in 10 overs, especially when you still bowl a team out. Yeah, exactly. And especially when you still bowl a team out. You know, it's not like they didn't bowl them out. The rest of the bowlers worked well around him and still bowled him out. So for me, that's definitely in my top three for this week. Again, people may disagree, but for me that was a great performance. So on to my second bowling performance then of this, or best bowling performance then of this week. And again, it is another Lancs player. In fact, we've already talked about him, and that is Danny Lamb. 9 overs, 5 for 30 against Gloucestershire. Brilliant performance. Brilliant, brilliant performance. 3.33 runs and over from Lammy. And again, as I said earlier, he's a genuine all-rounder. He is a genuine all-rounder. And I've seen it countless times in Championship cricket. He's impossible to get away. So that's when you've got 4 days to bat, hypothetically. You could bat for all 4 days, right? And, you know, there's not necessarily any pressure to score runs. You've only got 50 overs to bat. There's going to get to a point where you need to score runs to get a big enough score to defend. Of course there is, or to chase down a total. And Danny Lamb restricts opposition sides from doing that so well. And yeah, 3.33 runs and over is just phenomenal. And look, I mentioned how well Porter bowled there. It's pretty much Porter's performance with another 4 wickets on top, which is even more remarkable. So Danny Lamb, for me, is one of the most underrated players of this season, in my opinion, in county cricket. I would say Danny Lamb and Luke Ward are two of the most underrated county players. And I'm not just saying that. I'm not being biased. I genuinely believe that. Obviously, Luke Wood has got 100 contracts, so as I say, he's not around. But it's so good that we've still got Lamb around, and I feel like those two are vital for Lancs. Vital in all three competitions. So yeah, Danny Lamb, brilliant. Brilliant at the death as well, especially in T20 cricket and one-day cricket. He's just brilliant, you know, bowling to tail-enders at the death. So yeah, for me, Danny Lamb's 5 for 30 has to get on the list. And for my final performance, this was one that, before it happened, I did not foresee. Perhaps you didn't either. I don't think, to be honest, many people would have done. And that is Nick Gubbins picking up 4 wickets against Sussex. Now, this was just brilliant. Before he moved to Hampshire, he was bowling a bit in the Blast. He bowled, I think it was at the Oval that he bowled against Surrey. And I don't think he picked up a wicket, but Stephen Finn mentioned that he's now an option for Middlesex. Obviously, he then left Middlesex, has now joined Hampshire. And clearly, that's the same thought at Hampshire as well. 7 overs, 4 for 38 bowling. I don't even really know what he bowls. He bowls some kind of off-spin, but whether or not it's genuine off-spin, who knows? But I'll tell you what, it's absolutely brilliant and it's clearly effective. He also got 100 in this match. He's in ridiculous form, by the way. I just didn't mention him in the batting performances because I had to get Danny Lamb in there. But yeah, Nick Gubbins, phenomenal. Really, really, really phenomenal batter at the moment. Well, all the time, but especially at the moment, he's in scintillating form. And with the ball, I feel like he's really becoming a genuine option for Hampshire. And that's just great to see. It's quite an entertaining thing to see, really, isn't it? Nick Gubbins with the ball. You know, it's quite a funny thing to see, but I tell you what, he's taken a 4 for, so you can't really knock him for that. You're a fan of Nick Gubbins bowling, I assume?
Absolutely. And listeners, obviously, you wouldn't have been able to see this. I applauded Joe's option then, because I'm a big Nick Gubbins fan. I was absolutely gutted to see him leave Middlesex, to be honest. But with that being said, he's been an absolute revelation for Hampshire. He really has. In the county championship, let's not forget, in the final game, he scored basically a match-salvaging century to secure Hampshire's place in Division 1. And then to come out there the other day in that game, take 4 for 38, which were his first ever List A wickets, by the way, Joe. Before that game, I think he'd bowled 2 overs in 50-over cricket. And he goes and gets 4 for 38 in the same game where he scores 131 out.
What a
Gubbins.
Game. You talk about perfect games. He was missing one wicket, and that would have been one of the greatest one-day games individual one-day 100%. Performances, surely, in Hampshire's history, surely. So,
yeah.
Incredible. What a player. Incredible from Nick
Gubbins. What a player. Yeah. We need more Nick Gubbins praise on this podcast, Joe. That's all I'm going to say. The guy's absolutely quality.
100%. And, yeah, I mean, long may it continue, to be honest. As long as it's not against Lancs, long may it continue. So for young player of the week then, I guess there's really only one person who I can choose here, and that is, of course, Jack Haynes. We've already talked enough about him, but I will just reiterate again, this guy will play for England one day. There is not a doubt in my mind. You know, you talk about certain players who will play for England, maybe more established household names, the likes of Harry Brook, having a great time in the 100, scoring a lot of runs, will one day play for England without a doubt. I mentioned him earlier, or in a few podcasts ago, and for me, he's someone who would definitely play for England one day. I think Jack Haynes is also in that category. What a player. Hopefully we can see him play for England in the near future, because it's always great to see a young player make his test debut or his one day debut or whatever format he plays in, and I'm sure that'll be a great day for Worcester fans as well, having seen him kind of come through the ranks and make his debut and now score his first List A century. Yeah, it'd be great for those to see him make his England debut, but yeah, I guess only time will tell for that. So as I said, that's pretty much all you really need to say on Jack Haynes. We've pretty much covered him in enough detail already. So he's my young player of the week. And for my team of the week, I've actually got two. Well, of course, Worcester are top. You know, they've made a great start to the competition. So Worcester have to be top, have to be one of the two teams. They've won 3 out of 3. And second are Lancs, because Lancs would have won. Hopefully would have beaten Kent. It did made a solid start. I would like to think we would have got 300 before it got abandoned. So yeah, we'll never know. But yeah, Lancs are on 5 points, which is only one less than Worcester, of course. So yeah, I'll say Lancs are my other team of the week. But in reality, Worcester are the main one, if I'm being honest. But yeah, if only Lancs could have played against Kent, we could have beaten them, and Lancs could have been the team of the week. But it wasn't to be. We'll take 5 points for now. We'll take 5 points.
Oh, absolutely. 100%, Joe. And I tell you what, that was a lovely analysis of Group 2, a very good summary of this week's action in the second group. But Joe, I'll tell you what, mate, that's pretty much us at an end for this week's review show and wrap-up show. Do you have anything to just kind of, you know, end the show on? Any final words? Obviously, England versus India, we're going to be keeping a very, very close eye on that, how proceedings do shape out in that series. But anything with regards to the RLODC, mate?
Yeah, not really. Just keep enjoying and supporting and watching, because it's important that you do and you stick by your counties. Whether you watched 100 or not, you can still watch the RLODC as well. The 100 games are in the afternoon and evening, so there's still the morning time to watch the One Day Cup. So yeah, make sure you're watching it and enjoying it. And hopefully Lancs can win. That's pretty much all I'll say.
There we go. It wouldn't
be... And also hopefully England can win as well. I will say that. Yeah, that would be some really, really good Ashes prep, to be honest.
Absolutely. But it wouldn't be...
In fact, you couldn't ask for much better Ashes prep than India.
That is true. Joe, I'll tell you what, it wouldn't be an episode of the County Cricket Podcast without us ending on some England/Lancashire bias, would it? Let's face it, mate.
It would not.
But no, I completely agree. In terms of county cricket, keep on supporting your counties. Watch them for free on YouTube as well. As I said, right at the start of the show, viewing figures have been absolutely fantastic. If you can go down and support them at the grounds as well, you'll meet some really friendly people at County Cricket. Okay, and you're going to have a nice day out. Hopefully the weather will be nice. I know as we're recording this, Joe, it's raining pretty much up and down the country. But yeah, the Royal London One Day Cup.
Of course, enjoy after it. The heat wave last week.
I know. It's typical British weather, isn't it, unfortunately? The weather gods here, you know, aren't that favourable. But as we keep on saying, support your counties, watch them if you can. And of course, to all of the listeners out there, thank you very much for tuning in to the podcast. We really do appreciate all the support. Keep on tuning in. Keep on messaging us on Twitter and engaging with our content. It really does mean a lot to us. But that does bring us to an end to today's episode of the County Cricket Podcast. To all of you listeners out there, thank you very much for tuning in. As always, guys, we'll see you on the next one.